Are you looking for a podcast where you can hear from real people regarding their real dental drama? If so, then you've come to the right place. Join hosts Bethany Petty and Dr. Rena Kuba as we dive into the solutions we've created and the mistakes we've made while managing dental drama. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. I hope you guys are having a great start to your week. I am flying solo today and talking about a subject matter that I get lots of questions on, which is medical or maternity leaves. And these are inevitable. They're going to happen. People are going to need to have surgery, or people are going to have babies. This is a normal part of everyday life. And so I think it's important that you have some really good policies and procedures in place to ensure that you handle these situations correctly. So first and foremost, I want to talk through some general thoughts about medical leave and medical emergencies, maternity leaves, all of that. So first and foremost, for small business owners, very rarely do I see that there's any type of built-in pay or compensation or anything like that related to a surgery, a sick family member, so there needs to be some type of family medical leave. It in small businesses, I just see that there's usually, I would say 95% of the time, there's not really any kind of financial reimbursement. Now, there are some states that have maternity leave policies or FMLA type policies. And so what is available to your employees is definitely going to vary from state to state. I know in Texas, there's nothing related to maternity leave or family medical leave, at least for small business owners, which is what most of our dental offices are. Now, what I have seen is that most people, if they have to have a surgery, they're usually requesting off somewhere between 2 and 6 weeks, depending upon the surgery. That's what I see as most common. For maternity leave, I'm seeing that most women are requesting somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks. That tends to be the norm now. It used to be 6 to 8 weeks, and that's slowly kind of making its way to more of that 8 to 12 week mark. So these are very common time frames. I know many practice owners are always hoping and rooting for the shortest time frame, which is fully understandable. But at the same time, we want to be really cautious in approaching these leaves with the employee in mind. Yes, it's a huge hit to the business. It means we're having to really get creative with staffing. But at the end of the day, we do not want an employee feeling pressured to come back earlier than their bodies are telling them that they will come back or can come back. So a few key things to keep in mind with these type of leaves. First of all, it is important that you have a policy in place for medical and maternity leaves. As you guys have heard in all these episodes through the years, I'm a big fan of having office policies and procedures in place for your team members. And so a part of that policy manual needs to be a medical maternity leave policy. And in that, it basically identifies what is a medical or maternity leave, and then who's eligible for that, how much time is allowed, what's the medical leave process like, so that if anybody is needing to plan a surgery or they found out that they're pregnant and they're trying to figure out what the policies and procedures are, that they can open this office policy manual and they can know exactly what is a leave, you know, what is a leave, am I eligible for it, and what is the allowable time frame. Now, the allowable time frame,
especially for maternity leave, we have to be really careful. And this is, you know, there's national standards in place, but also there's going to be state specific standards that an employee really can't lose their job over getting pregnant or having a child. And so it's really important that we take the maternity leave process and we're pretty delicate with it. We need to ensure that we're doing everything in our power to preserve that person's place on the team, especially if they have stated that they are coming back after having a baby. So with maternity leave, it's critical that we protect their position in the practice, and that requires really good, clear communication. Part of this medical policy or this medical leave, maternity leave policy is you are saying who is eligible, who applies for this medical leave policy. Well, if you just started an employee 2 weeks ago and you find out that she's 3 months pregnant, if you have a medical leave or maternity leave policy that says, hey, eligible team members, first of all, need to be full-time team members, and they've completed their 3-month probationary period, or they've completed their 6-month probationary period. That helps for somebody that's new to the team. Let's say that that scenario happened where they're 2 weeks in, you find out that they're 3 months pregnant. Well, they knew that they were pregnant when they were interviewing at your establishment, and so it's important that they had a chance to review the policy manual before ultimately signing on the dotted line to work for you. And they would clearly see there that people who are eligible for a maternity leave, they have to complete a 6-month probationary period. I think it's smart to put that in there. You don't have to put that people who are eligible have been with you for some time, but I like having it in there just because it gives you a little bit of leverage if you're in that situation where you just found out that an employee's pregnant and they just started with you. It doesn't mean that you're going to fire them or anything like that. It just means that you're going to be able to engage in a deeper conversation about maternity leave with them. Other things that people might include on who's eligible for maternity leave, it could, or maternity medical leave, it identifies medical leave situations. So my sister's husband's biological daughter is having surgery and I would like to be there to help her recover from that. Well, you can clearly put in your policy that that does not qualify for an approved medical leave. So you could put that it is the staff members themselves that are needing to have a surgery, or they are undergoing, 6 months of chemo treatment and need to be able to work part-time during that. It could be that you identify that immediate family members also qualify as medical leave. And then you identify what are immediate family members, a spouse or children. If you're okay with medical leave applying to parents or to siblings or things like that, well, then you need to put that in here. And essentially what you're saying is, hey, employee, if you come to me and say, I'm grown, my sister is also grown, but she is undergoing chemotherapy treatments for cancer, and I would like to take off every Monday for the next 12 weeks to be with her during those chemotherapy treatments. If you did not put in there that extended family members apply, then you are able to, first of all, say, I totally get it, and I don't want to be heartless, but I cannot approve that. And then if the employee chooses to still do that, meaning take off those Mondays without approval, then the typical consequences, so to speak, for taking off too much time from work would apply if you have that policy in place. So that goes to time off requests and all of that, which should also be in your office policy manual. But let's just say that you have a threshold. Hey, employees on our team, they get 8 paid days off and they get 6 paid holidays. That's our time off policy. And team members are allowed to take an additional week or 5 days off of work for sick related things. It's not paid or compensated, but you can be off for an additional 5 days throughout the year without penalty. Once you get past that 5 days of your grace days or your extra days, well, then there could be consequences in the way of, you know, loss of bonus, or we're having to do written warnings for excessive amount of time off. These are all a part of your time off policy. But if you put in your medical policy that your sister is not a part, or an employee sister is not a part of what could be included as an approved medical leave policy, then you're saying, if I deny those Mondays off, you're going to fall under the time off request policy. Now, you could have a policy that says your sister doesn't qualify as medical time off, and this longtime employee comes to you and says, I really want to have the next 12 Mondays off to be with my sister, and you could absolutely approve those. Just because you have a medical leave policy does not mean that you are automatically denying the employee's request to have that time off. It simply means that you have given yourself an opportunity to deny that, and you have a policy that shows that you're not being discriminatory in that denial of the request to be off with the sister. Other things that would go under the who is eligible category. So it could be the amount of time that they need to be on your team before that type of request is approved. Who qualifies for medical time off? And then also what qualifies? So I'm having an ingrown toenail removed, and therefore I'd like to take a week off to recuperate from that. You could clearly put in your eligibility tab that in order to receive approval for a medical leave, it needs to be a general anesthesia surgery that is recommended or required by a surgeon, and that surgeon has provided a return to work policy or medical instructions for returning to work. So it is an official surgery that is medically necessary. So you could write a policy that's stringent like that, so that if somebody comes to you with something elective, like, hey, I'd like to go have a boob job, and therefore I need to have 2 weeks off of work for recovery, and by the way, when I return, I won't be able to lift my arms or engage in any kind of physical activities. It would just have to be a desk job for the next 2 weeks after that. Well, if you said that this is a medically necessary surgery, and a cosmetic surgery like breast implants or something like that, that is an elective surgery and therefore would not fall under this medical leave policy, which means, hey, feel free to go have your boob job, but I can't give you those 2 weeks of administrative work because you're an assistant or you're a hygienist on my team. So yes, you can have those 2 weeks off because you have the PTO for that, or there's a time off policy that allows you to have those 2 weeks off, but I can't have you come back administratively. So those 2 weeks, you'd have to just be off without pay, and I'm okay with doing that as long as you're able to come back on that fifth week of work with the appropriate paperwork from your doctor that says you're allowed to resume all normal activities. If you can't come back at that time on the fifth week, I can't promise that I can hold your job for you. Again, the whole point is you've got to have a medical leave policy that gives you a backing or gives you the option to deny certain things. It does not mean you're going to deny them. It means you have the option to deny those things. The medical leave policy, maternity leave policy, also gives your employees an idea of what is the amount of time that is allowed. A lot of medical leave policies are written for time off up to 6 weeks. And then maternity leave policies obviously fall outside of that, but your medical leave/maternity leave policy is written more stringently I'd rather it be written more stringently than not stringently enough. And so you could put the amount of time that is usually involved in a medical slash maternity leave. And then you clearly state in there if it's paid or unpaid. Again, for small businesses, 95% of my clients don't have any type of financial reimbursement. And so you can simply say medical leave is unpaid. Or employees are able to use any accrued PTO, but time past that accrued PTO is unpaid. Now, my very few clients that do something, they might, give a couple extra PTO days. And you're like, hey, you've got your 8 paid days as a gift to you. I'm giving you 2 additional PTO days for your baby, happy baby. Congratulations. So I do have a couple of clients that will do that. I've also got one client that will actually do like a financial gift. Like, hey, congratulations on the baby. So excited for you. And I don't even know the amount. I think it's like $250 or $300 gift that is just like, hey, here's my baby shower gift to you. And so, but I would not put that in your medical leave slash maternity leave policy. I would just say that it's unpaid. If you're doing a gift, then you're not putting that in there. You're not committing yourself to anything. If you can 100% guarantee that you're going to always offer 2 additional PTO days for maternity leave, then you're welcome to put that in the policy. So, main thing, who's eligible and how much time is allowed? Is it paid or not paid? Those are the main things that you want to go into your medical slash maternity leave policy. The other thing is you want the employee to know, what is the process? What do I need to do? Wow, I just found out I'm pregnant. I'm flipping to a page in this office policy manual. I need to know what to do next. And so what are the things that you might have in this particular section? Number one, you can require a medical slash maternity leave process to have a paperwork that is completed. So, hey, you found out you're pregnant. Please complete the medical leave request form as soon as you're able to complete that, complete it and turn it in. Our expectation is that ideally that medical leave request form is turned in by the 20th week of your pregnancy. Or the medical leave form is this, and the office manager or the doctor will set up a meeting with you at 20 weeks to discuss your medical leave request. So medical leave process is complete the medical leave form, or same thing for surgery or chemo or things like that. Please complete the medical leave request form. That form should be used for any amount of time off. I used the example of my sister's going through chemo. I need to take off, every Monday for the next 12 weeks. That is a medical leave request form because it's a leave due to a medical leave. Even though it's my sister, it's not me. Also, if there's going to be any type of accommodations that need to be made, for example, I got a boob job, I'm going to come back and I can't assist for another 2 weeks after returning. That would need to be a part of what's documented in that medical leave request form. For returning moms after they have their baby, is there any kind of special accommodations, like I plan to have a C-section and therefore I can't lift anything I plan to come back at 6 weeks, but I can't lift anything for 8 weeks. So for 2 weeks, I won't be able to lift dental supplies as they come in. Or I plan to nurse and therefore I really need to be able to have a 15-minute break in the morning and a 15-minute break in the afternoon. And I need to be able to have a private place that can be the storage closet, but I need to be able to get to a sanitary place so that I can pump during that time. Any special accommodations need to be a part of that medical leave process. And then the employee would need to indicate whether they plan to use paid time off or not. And again, that could all be a part of that medical leave request form. Now, what I would recommend, if you don't have a medical leave policy in place, I do recommend that, first of all, get an office policy manual in place, number one, and make sure that a medical maternity leave document is a part of your office policy manual. Second takeaway would be come up with your medical leave request form so that that is something you've got in place as soon as you've got an employee that needs to have a surgery or is having a baby. You would give them this medical leave request form if they say something to you or if they say something to your office manager. The other thing is going to be that I would schedule time. So if you receive a medical request form, a medical leave form, or a maternity leave form, or you just hear through the grapevine that somebody is pregnant on your team or needs to have surgery, then you would need to set up a time to meet with this person. Again, for maternity, I always recommend give a little bit of time. As soon as you find out, you don't need to be like, hey, we need to schedule a meeting right away. You're 6 weeks pregnant. Let's talk about your leave. So normally around 20 weeks is normal for a maternity leave meeting to take place, but it can be honestly at any point after 20 weeks. So if you're like, hey, 20 weeks feels a little bit early to me, that's fine. Just plan a time where you're able to sit down, review the request with your employee, and see what they wrote down on that medical request form or that maternity leave request form, and then just ask any clarifying questions that you might need. With the maternity leave, it's always nice to have their anticipated last day before maternity so that you can start to put some temps in place or put a game plan in place for covering for that person. And then last thing is make sure that you have communicated with your team what the plan is. Once you've received that medical form or that maternity leave form, then you need to disseminate that information to the team, but you're doing so not related to the person's request and what they're needing from you as in the way of accommodations. We're not talking about personal information. In other words, we are simply taking the information about when that person's going to be on and who's covering for them. We're communicating that information to the team because your team will want to know, what's the plan for Sally? I know she's pregnant. I know she's going to be gone. What are we doing? When is she going to be gone? How long is she going to be gone? And that information can certainly be shared as long as it's done so in a very professional manner. And we're not talking about anything else besides Sally's last day is May 27th and she plans to return 12 weeks later. That's pretty much all we need to pass along to the team. All right. I hope this has been helpful. I know it's a hot topic for so many people, and I do encourage you to tackle this, get some good policies and procedures in place so that you are absolutely prepared when somebody or many somebodies on your team need to take a medical leave or a maternity leave. Best of luck.
Thanks for joining the conversation today. We hope that you are comforted in knowing that you are not alone, but we also hope that you're walking away with some really great tips and tricks to try in your practice. We value your feedback, so please take a few moments to rate and review the podcast. Finally, we want to make sure that we're covering the topics that matter to you. So track us down on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and let us know what topics you want us to cover. As always, please know that we are rooting for you today as you manage your dental drama.